Okay, Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Let's stand together tonight that we might honor the reading of God's word. Zechariah chapter 4. Then the angel who was speaking with me returned and roused me as a man who is awakened from his sleep. He said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold with its bowl on top of it, and its seven lamps on it with seven spouts belonging to each of the lamps which are on the top of it. Also two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on its left side." Then I answered and said to the angel who was speaking with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.' What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Also, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth." Then I answered and said to him, "What are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand and on its left?" And I answered the second time and said to him, "What are the two olive branches which are beside the two golden pipes which empty the golden oil from themselves?" So he answered me, saying, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth." Father, as we look at Zechariah chapter 4, this fifth vision that Zechariah had, there are details in it that, like Zechariah, we desire to understand. And so, Spirit of God, help us to understand them tonight, that we might see this prophecy and your continued love and care for Israel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's recall as we move into Zechariah's fifth vision that all of these visions of Zechariah are on the same night. So he's already had four of them. Now, I don't know, but if you would have had dreams or visions like Zechariah had, four of them already in one night, what kind of night's sleep would you think you would have been getting? Probably a bit restless, wouldn't it have been? And so we see the first four visions in chapter 1, the man among the myrtles. Also in chapter 1, the four horns and the four craftsmen. In chapter 2, the man with the measuring line. In chapter 3, the cleansing of the high priest. And now tonight in chapter 4, the golden lampstand and the olive trees. Before we move on into this fifth vision, what do all five of these visions have in common? Yeah, Israel. They have in common God's love, care, protection of Israel. As Israel has begun to return from the Babylonian captivity, and over 50,000 had already returned, and others will return later. But as that is happening, the Lord wants them to know that they are to rebuild the temple and be encouraged in that whole project. So this vision in chapter 4 now continues that thought. And the theme in chapter 4 is that the sovereign grace and power of God guarantees that God's people will accomplish God's will. God's grace and God's power. In verse 6, we will see, "By my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." God's Spirit, God's power. And in verse 7, we will see shouts of grace, grace to the mountain. It is by God's Spirit and by God's grace that God's work is done. God's work in God's way. And so that is the theme. Chapter 4, we will say for tonight, there are five parts in chapter 4, and the five parts are really five parts of a dialogue between Zechariah and his messenger angel. So, part number 1 in verses 1 through 3, Zechariah receives the vision. You'll notice in verse 1 that the angel had to rouse him and reveal these things to Zechariah. What does Zechariah see in this vision? In verse 2, he sees the golden lampstand. The golden lampstand is made of solid gold. It has a bowl on the top and seven lamps with seven spouts each. And so I think you can picture that. The lampstand, a huge bowl on the top. The bowl is for oil. And the oil then would run down through seven pipes, I guess, to each of seven lamps that have seven spouts on them to provide for the flow of oil that would be burning in the fire. So that's what he sees. And he also, in verse 3, sees two olive trees, one on either side of the lampstand with the bowl. So that's Zechariah's vision. I don't know if you've ever had a vision like that, but Zechariah did. Now, as Zechariah receives that vision, verses 4 and 5, Zechariah requests the interpretation of the golden lampstand. So this is part number 2, verses 4 and 5. Zechariah wants to know what this lampstand means. Wouldn't you? Sure. So he desires to know that. So in verses 4 and 5, he asks, what are these? The angel says, do you not know? And Zechariah says, no, I don't know what these are. Part 3, verses 6 through 10, is the substantial portion of chapter 4. Part 3, Zechariah receives the interpretation of the golden lampstand. In verse 6, you see that the angel answered Zechariah, and the angel said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. So what is the lampstand? It's the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Well, okay, but what does that mean? In the rest of verse 6, here's what it means. The project, which is the temple rebuilding project, will succeed by the power of the Lord's Spirit, not by Zerubbabel's own power. That's what verse 6 says. So the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Zerubbabel, you have the responsibility as governor to lead the temple rebuilding project. Guess what, Zerubbabel? You are not able to do it. You're not capable of doing it. The Lord, it's interesting how the Lord encourages people by saying, you don't have any ability to do this at all. Zerubbabel, just in case you think that you have all the power and all of the ability somewhere lying inside of you, and you're going to call it up and go into, you know, you're just going to muster it up somehow and get to work and lead this temple rebuilding project, Guess what? Zerubbabel, that won't work. It is not by your might, and it is not by your power. Oh, well then, how is Zerubbabel going to do it? Will Zerubbabel do it? Yes. How will he do it? By my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This will be the work of God's Spirit. Now, think about this. This is Old Testament, the temple rebuilding project was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Say, well, that should have been New Testament. No, this is Old Testament. The Spirit of God at work in Zerubbabel. So the project will succeed by the power of the Lord's Spirit, verse 6. And verse 7, obstacles like a mountain, obstacles will be removed by God's grace. In prayer, shout grace, grace to the mountain. That would be earth that is standing in the place that Zerubbabel's rebuilt temple should be going. That had to be moved. How will that be moved? Say, well, they could do a lot of digging. Yeah. They didn't have bulldozers and things like that at that point. So how is it going to be moved? Prayer. Shout grace to that mountain. That is how obstacles will be removed. Now, this is, of course, for the rebuilding of the temple in Zechariah's day. But there are applications in this to all of the Lord's work, aren't there? The Lord's work is done how? By His Spirit. Not by all of our trying and trying and trying and trying. And the obstacles are removed how? By prayer, by grace, and God's intervention. We can't remove the obstacles. This is the work of the Lord. And those applications are as true now in the church age as they were for Zerubbabel in Zechariah's day. We'll get to this in chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. But interestingly, when he says here in verse 7, this great mountain will become a plain, that is exactly what happens in chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. At the second coming of Jesus, the Mount of Olives will become a valley. So, how does that happen? Well, anybody got some dynamite? Let's blow up the Mount of Olives. Isn't it interesting? After all these years, it's still there. You can stand on it. But at the second coming of Jesus, the Mount of Olives will be flattened. And so prophetically, it points us to that future as well. So that's the first part of the angel's answer. What is this golden lampstand? It has oil that represents the power of the Holy Spirit in it. It is God's power. And God's word to Zerubbabel is that it is God's power that will do this work. So Zerubbabel, as the governor, had to do what? Rely upon God. Trust God. Not figure out plans or strategies. Trust God. Trust God. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Now, verses 8 through 10, the interpreting angel again gives the word of the Lord, and this is now answer 2. So, verse 8, the word of the Lord came to me saying, so this is the second answer, and in verse 9, we see the second answer given with relationship to the finishing of the temple project. Verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. And that was true. Zerubbabel laid the foundation. His hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Now, I'm going to refer us tonight to the book of Ezra. We're not going to take a lot of time to read all of this from Ezra, but you can find it there. Ezra chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, Zerubbabel laid the foundation of the temple. Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, Zerubbabel is forced by the Persian government, and when you read it, you'll see other interrupters and enemies that were against the project, but forced by the government to stop construction. And the construction was stopped. And if you recall, it was stopped for about 15 years. So it was stopped. Then, in Ezra chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, you will find this. Darius ordered a search of the Persian archives and found Cyrus's original decree that permitted the Jews to rebuild the temple. So when Darius found Cyrus's original decree, what did Darius do? He realized that was the official decree of Cyrus, and Darius reinstituted it. And it was reinstituted. The Jews were permitted again to begin rebuilding the temple, and Darius even contributed financial support from his own royal treasury. So the Persians are paying for it. Wow. Good deal. That's Ezra 6. In Ezra 6:15, we find that the temple was completed in 4 years. That brought us to March of 516 BC. Now, looking here in verse 9, you can see all of this. Zerubbabel laid the foundation. His hands will finish it, and they did. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. This prediction of Zechariah that he had through his vision, this prediction was fulfilled so that the people knew that Zechariah was a true prophet of God. Why? Zechariah prophesied that Zerubbabel would finish the temple, and Zerubbabel did. Zechariah's prophecy was fulfilled, and the people knew Zechariah was teaching the truth. Verse 10 gives further information on the building project. Verse 10 teaches that the project will begin small, but it is a great work in the eyes of God. Who has despised the day of small things in verse 10. This temple rebuilding project doesn't look like much of a big deal, does it? It's small. It's getting off to a weak start. And it's certainly small compared to what the previous temple, Solomon's temple, would have been. But don't despise the day of small things. These seven will be glad. Now, these seven, you have to keep it in context. And remember, what is the angel answering to Zechariah? He's answering, what is the golden lampstand? And the golden lampstand had how many lamps on it? Seven. So when you read in verse 10, these seven will be glad, it is a reference back to verse 2, the seven lamps. And if you can remember back to last time in chapter 3, verse 9, the stone, which is Messiah in Zechariah's last vision, the stone had seven eyes. And those seven eyes were the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, applying God's omniscience. And that is true here as well. These seven, the seven lamps that are the lamps of oil of the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be glad when they see what? The plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, a plumb line, a measuring line, isn't new to us in Zechariah either, is it? We've seen the plumb line, chapter 1, verse 16. a measuring line will be stretched over Jerusalem. Chapter 2, verse 1, a man with a measuring line in his hand. And verse 2, he's going to measure Jerusalem. And now we see the measuring line here in chapter 4, verse 10. And Zerubbabel is using it. And these are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth, which agrees with chapter 3, verse 9. So the Holy Spirit, God's complete omniscience, will be watching the entire rebuilding process. And when Zerubbabel is finished and picks up the measuring line to measure the temple and measure Jerusalem, what will the Holy Spirit do? He'll be glad. He'll be glad. And say, well, the Holy Spirit's glad. Yeah, the Holy Spirit can be glad with you, and the Holy Spirit can be grieved also, can't he? Yeah. So he will be glad. So the project will begin small, but will be great in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord doesn't measure things the same way we do, does he? Say, well, wasn't it the same size to God? Yeah, but the Lord saw this as a great project. He didn't see it as a small project. He was glad over it. So those things that might appear to be insignificant at times can be very great in the eyes of the Lord. Part 4, verses 11 and 12, Zechariah makes another request. He requests the interpretation of the two olive trees. And you observe he asked this in verse 11, and he asked it again in verse 12, specifying not only the trees, but the branches of the trees. And these trees are on either side of the lampstand. So, what are these? And Zechariah does not know. Finally, part 5, Zechariah receives the interpretation of the two olive trees, verses 13 and 14. What are the two olive trees? Verse 14. These are the two anointed ones who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, these two anointed ones who are the two olive trees. So the two olive trees are people, aren't they? And these people have both an immediate contextual application and a prophetic application. The immediate contextual application, who are these two witnesses? Or these two anointed ones, rather. I jumped ahead a little bit. Who are these two anointed ones? They are, in Zechariah, Joshua the high priest, that we saw in chapter 3, and Zerubbabel, the governor. Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the governor, who are anointed by God for the temple rebuilding project. So when you're reading the book of Zechariah, you can't get any other answer than those two. Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the governor. We don't see any other prophetic application of this until we get to the book of Revelation in the New Testament. Revelation 11 verses 3 through 5. The two witnesses who are also involved in ministry at the tribulation temple. And they are anointed of the Lord. And so there is prophetic application of this for Israel in the tribulation period. So, we face obstacles in the Lord's work and ministry. Shout grace to the obstacles. And sometimes the work requires great power and ability. But we saw it this morning, didn't we? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We see here tonight it's not by our might, not by our power, but by the Lord's Spirit. And so trust in the Lord is an application of this for us tonight, as well as it would have been for Zechariah and Zerubbabel and Joshua and all of Israel who was working on the temple rebuilding project. The fact that this would have a long view prophetic application reminds us that all of God's promises to Israel, including those that have not been fulfilled yet, will be fulfilled in the future, won't they? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the goodness and richness of your word. While in some ways these things that we've seen tonight are not difficult, they are rich. And so, Lord, I pray that no one tonight would choke on the richness of your word. But, Lord, I pray that everyone would trust, rely upon you. Thank you, Lord, tonight that it is by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, tonight that to every obstacle we may still shout, grace, grace to it. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.